This podcast is brought to you in part by ChoiceRealtyConnect.com. Whether you're buying or selling home, condo, or any type of property, trust Amanda to help match you with up to three top agents in your area. ChoiceRealtyConnect.com.
All you rock stars from Washington, D.C. This is the Rock of the Money podcast, episode 134. Time to talk about saving, investing, and protecting all those hard-earned monies. We're here to coach you along that path to retirement and financial independence. I'm Craig, your certified master financial coach, along with Amanda. You are a corporate in-house lawyer and real estate referral agent. We're grateful you've joined us. Check us out at Facebook at facebook.com/rockonthemoney or the website at rockonthemoney.com. What's going on, Amanda? How are you doing?
I'm well. How about you?
I ordered a new refrigerator. We've talked about this before.
I finally
broke down. And here's why. I guess because the humidity has returned. Mm-hmm. The frost and the ice inside this stupid Samsung refrigerator is building up so bad inside the refrigerator portion. It's eventually going to just choke out any components, I'm assuming, in the back. So I'm like, I better hurry up and get this thing. This is a known issue with Samsung refrigerators, apparently. So, and with the humidity, it's just gotten out of control. And there's so much ice in this thing. It's so bad. And I've done everything. I've turned off the water line. I've done everything. I don't know where this water comes from. I'm assuming it's the water in the air. So anyway, Costco, once again.
I figured.
Well, no, if we go back to episodes, remember I got a new air conditioner. Mm-hmm. I got a total of, from that purchase during a special they had, I got a bunch of points on my Costco card, which turned into like $500 in cash back. And then I also got gift cards on top of that worth $2,133.
Right.
I bought a refrigerator for $2,599. Total cost at the end of taxes, blah, 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 is $600 for a brand new $3,000 refrigerator.
Oh, because you used your gift cards.
Right. From the purchase of buying a home air conditioner, which had to be replaced. Right. So anyway.
Well, you're probably slightly traumatized still from your Samsung being such garbage.
It is. And I bought all Samsung appliances. We've already talked about the dishwasher. Now we're down to just the stove, which I did buy a replacement already because the Element caught fire. I don't know if you've ever had an Element go bad on an electric stove before. I've been on fire calls where that's happened. It's like a big burst of electrical. It's electrical fire is what it is inside your oven. All you got to do is unplug it. But when it happens in your own house, as opposed to me running 911 calls, okay, I don't care who you are. That's not fun. It's my house now. So anyway, and the cost to replace that Element was about the cost of a brand new oven. So I ended up buying a whole new oven. I'm done with
that. They're not good with appliances. No. Phones maybe, but appliances, no.
Yeah. So anyway, I'm not saying LG is going to be any better, but I'm basically with these gift cards, I'm pretty much stuck with what they have at Costco, and I went with the odds. So seems like I'm getting a good one. Anyway, so there's my not to take savvy savings from you. What would, hey, we got questions.
Yeah, let's do it.
Yeah, here we go. Number one, I just want to give some background on this question because I threw it in here. I sent this to Amanda as a private message. And what did you come back with?
That it made my brain hurt.
It made your brain hurt. Here's the question, guys. And I saw this elsewhere on the internet, so I'm kind of taking it from somewhere else. No one asked me this. But there was a...
thank goodness. I thought some of our fans were...
Well, I'm really doing a lot of prep because I want people to think about this question. But there was actually a ton of discussion about this. And people are actually for this. And I don't understand it.
I don't understand how it works.
I don't either.
Right, let's say the question so people know.
Everybody listen to this question. Is it a good idea to pay off my house with the equity? Thanks for the advice. This was a legit question posted on another financial group on Facebook. And people actually thought it was a good idea. Does everybody understand what the question is saying? You're using the equity of your house to pay off your house. You're going around circles now.
Yeah. So you have to refinance your house to take out a brand new loan to pay off your other loan. It's the weirdest shell game.
And just to point out, I've had home equity loans before. That's usually a higher interest rate than your mortgage also. Typically.
Yeah, you don't understand.
So they really truncated this question. The only thing I could see in the current environment is if you want to downsize and you want to use the equity of the house to pay off, your future house.
Anyway, when you sell your house.
Right. I don't understand the question.
Were other people saying that? How are they saying this is a good idea?
I don't know. There were legit comments and they're saying, do it. I'm doing it myself. And I'm like, oh my God. I'm like, I have to send this to Amanda. But then there were people jumping in like, you're creating debt to pay off debt.
Right. That's exactly it.
And then people were attacking them. I'm like, I didn't understand what was going on. Mm-hmm. So this is what's going on out there, guys.
This is the common thing. People try and take shortcuts and they want to get out of debt. So they're trying to do something slick and fancy. And really, it's just a shell game. You're just putting debt into a different pot to pay off the other pot. It makes no sense because now you're going to have a higher interest rate. Just pay off your debt, people.
Okay, which leads into question two, which was from our group.
Uh-oh.
With there not being a tax penalty for cashing in a Roth IRA, should you leave it or cash it out when you would need to pay off a debt or student loan? Another fast track to trying to pay off debt.
Yeah.
And we do not like touching retirement accounts out.
No.
No, we don't touch. This is how we operate. And it's the common question that comes back or statement is, well, thank you for the advice, but everybody's situation is different. The math does not change no matter what your situation is in the way I look at it.
Right.
At the end of the day, those retirement accounts need to be there for your future. You're robbing your future to get out of a situation that you created.
Right.
You created this debt. You need to own up to that debt. And I know I'm making it like it's a bad thing, but debt is bad. You have to get out of debt if you want a future. You're robbing your future to pay off today.
And borrowing, so pulling from your own IRA, that's just creating a debt to yourself. So again, it's a shell game where you're pulling from one pot to pay the other. You're not any further ahead.
Right. And so.
And I know people are going to say, oh, but the interest rates on my student loans are so high. Well, guess what? So are the gains right now in retirement accounts.
And the other thing to take into account is you can only put so much money in an IRA per year. Right. When you take that money out.
Yeah, they don't let you just pay it back.
Right. The money that's in there will double over time. When you take it out, you lose the benefit of time to make money.
And then you can only put $6,000 a year away. And think about how long it's going to take for you to get that balance back.
You can't go back to it at 50 years old and realize, oh my God, I don't have money saved because I took it out to buy a car, to buy Dogecoin or Bitcoin.
Now I want to dump $100,000 in. Well, guess what? You can't.
Right. The way retirement accounts work is time. The earlier you start, the much better off you're going to be. You start in your 20s, you're set. But when you start later and later and later, you have to literally change your lifestyle to dump as much as you can into as many things as you can. Not Dogecoin or Bitcoin. I'm not against those. But you got to do the basic stuff first. There's a lot of financial guys out there on YouTube and stuff that are really getting scared. Because they have nothing against the coins. But people are literally putting 85% of their money into those things. And they're robbing these accounts. Thinking, that, oh, well, I saw this guy become a Dogecoin millionaire. So I'm going to take all my money in my IRA. And I'm going to buy this.
Right.
Oh, my God. Now my brain hurts. Question number three. I am concerned about inflation. Here we go again.
We talked about this last week.
I know, but I'm getting all these people. It's now all over Facebook now, and even our group. I'm concerned about inflation. How can we protect our cash from major devaluation?
You can't. Inflation's going to happen if it's going to happen.
And those of us old, go ahead and say it, Amanda. I'm old. Mm-hmm. We've been through double-digit inflation, guys. You know, there used to be mortgages at 18%. Yeah. Mortgages at one point dropped to 14%. People had their minds like, oh my God, this is a bargain. People don't even remember that. That was in the 70s.
Right.
We had to sit in gas lines. Pepperidge Farm remembers. No, we sat in gas lines, Amanda, based on the calendar and your license plate number. That was inflation. That was during the Carter years. I'm not blaming Carter. There was a lot of things going on in the world. But no, it was that in that era, which what pretty much gave the election to Reagan, because people just didn't know what was going on.
Right.
But there were a lot of world events going on at the same time. I'm not going to get political, but I mean, it was a bigger picture back then. Oil embargoes, it was a lot of crazy things going on. But this inflation's already here, by the way.
Yeah, people inflation happens all the time. Yeah. And yes, there is some inflation this year. And depending on what, if you're talking about lumber, yeah, that's insane.
Oh my God, yeah.
In general, things are going up at the normal rate of inflation.
And things will.
And so, here's what people do: they get scared about inflation, and then they're like, "I'm going to pull all my money out of the stock market and stick it into a stable value fund or a mutual fund that's at my bank, and I'm just going to collect the interest on it because I don't want it to lose money." So, you're losing money because inflation is faster than your interest rate you're getting on that.
Those stable value funds, which a lot of people are in our group or used to be, does not even keep up with standard inflation when it's only 1 or 1.5% a year. It can't even keep up with that. If you pull it out now and put it into some stable value fund or just savings, you're actually losing at a much faster rate. If you just stick with what we're telling you, where you can get 8 to 12% per year on average over time, you're actually beating all this inflation, unless we get into double digit inflation. I mean, just major inflation. But even so, Amanda, you have to stick in those funds to even have a chance.
Yeah.
Pulling out is the worst thing you do. Once again, the S&P 500 has been through world wars and terrorist attacks, all kinds of things.
I think people are just worrying about the wrong things.
They do. They overthink it. And I do appreciate that people keep looking at their accounts. The problem is you're looking at your accounts. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And
stop watching CNBC. I mean, they get viewers based on creating panic and giving people something to mull over. I mean, people wouldn't keep watching if every day it was the normal boring thing, you know?
People are touching their accounts way too much. You're not, your mutual funds and your IRAs, and they're not meant to be tinkered with every day or every week or every month. Leave them alone. If you're in the right funds that perform over time through everything, elections, terrorist attacks, wars, you're going to be fine. Leave them alone. All you got to do is just keep dumping money in there. Just leave them alone. You mess really with them, you're messing up the average. You're messing up the averages of how it works over time. Every financial guy will tell you the same thing. Leave it alone. I need a break. My head hurts. We'll be back right after this. You're listening to Rock on the Money.
Hey there, rock stars. Amanda here with ChoiceRealtyConnect.com. Are you about to sell your home or excited to buy your first or next home? I'll be honored to help you find an expert to work with you in your local area. At ChoiceRealtyConnect.com, I'll help match you with up to 3 qualified licensed agents that specialize in your specific market. Choice Realty Connect serves every zip code in all 50 states with a network of 15,000 top-rated agents that are ranked within the top 5% for sales. Whether you're selling or looking for a condo, new construction, retreat, vacation property, or you're a first-time home buyer, let me connect you with the perfect top agent today. ChoiceRealtyConnect.com. The choice is yours.
Amanda Braun is a Florida licensed real estate with a brokerage, Realty Connect.
Rockland, USA.
Welcome back to Rock on the Money. Hello, Amanda.
Hi.
How is your realty, ChoiceRealtyConnect.com?
I'm still in a house. I'm not homeless.
No. The ChoiceRealtyConnect.com. Is everything really hot out there? I mean, is it as hot as I'm hearing? or
it is. Yeah. So hopefully those of you who are looking for a new place and really getting frustrated, hopefully you've got a great agent who can help you navigate those waters, because it's unlike anything you've seen before. And selling a house, I know people are like, oh, the market is so hot right now, I'm just going to list it myself because I can save on the realtor commission and everything. Yeah, that may very well be, but you also may lose tens, if not hundred. I've been seeing offers 100,000, 50,000 over asking. So you may be losing out on serious money if you're not using a real estate agent.
And
which more than covers their fee, just so you know.
And what you do cost doesn't add anything to the cost or anything. There's no extra percentages added. You're just
The referral. If you just go on my website, fill out the form, the referral is 100% free.
Nice. Wait a minute. But my aunt's friend is a realtor. Shall I use them?
I would say no, but I mean, it's your call.
But my friend at work does realty on weekends.
Yeah. And a lot of people over the last year during the pandemic had nothing else better to do, so they worked on getting their license and have zero experience. I wouldn't use a lawyer straight out of law school, and I'm certainly not going to use a real estate agent, straight up with a fresh license that's not even got a scratch on it yet.
So the realtors that we get from the referral service are the top what?
They're the top 5% in every single zip code.
So if I went to get brain surgery, I need a tumor removed from my brain. I get the guy at med school?
Yeah, you probably get a referral from your friend or family or Aunt Sue.
Yeah, I need a brain surgeon. Do you have? Oh, my uncle has done that before. Oh, okay. Yeah. He did that in the military. Well, okay. Or should I get the top 5% brain surgeons out there?
Yeah, I would go for the best.
Question number 4. Thank you, Amanda. Sorry, I love that service. I think people would
love to rant about anything, so I'm happy to accommodate you.
Thank you. I feel so special right now. Question number 4. I am new to understanding money and looking for advice. The only debt I have are my student loans, in which I'm under income-driven payments. Mm-hmm. However, I've been making high payments. Good. In which I was able to lower. Okay, they were able to lower.
The balance
by 3% in 2020. I am looking to buy a house. Should I still put all my extra money into the debt or keep aside and save? I appreciate the information. So it sounds like the extra payments that they want to put aside to buy a house, or should they work on their student loan?
Right. I would keep working on the student loan. The fact that you qualify for income driven payments tells me that you don't have a very high income. To be honest, in this market, I think you just need to stay on the sidelines, or you're going to risk overpaying on a house that is going to put you in a bind when you still have student loans to pay, and then add on that a mortgage, and then add on that something going wrong with the house because you had to buy an old fixer upper and things are falling apart. And, you know, that's the only thing you could afford. That's what's happening in this market. You know,
I want to point out what they're in baby step 2.
You're in baby step 2. Keep working on the debt.
Yeah. There is actually a baby step 3B, which we never really talk about. So baby step 1 is your initial $1,000 emergency fund. Baby step 2, you pay off all your debt except for your mortgage. Baby step 3, you build up your 3 to 6 months of expenses as your emergency fund, a fully funded emergency fund. Step 3B is, if you're in this position, is you save up for the down payment of a new home.
Right.
So if we apply the baby steps to us, absolutely, you got to pay off the loan first.
Yep.
If you want to stick with the plan. Because typically
you're not missing out right now. Trust me. You're not missing out. It's not the time to be a buyer.
Since we're in this real estate thing that I kind of led into this question, I'm also seeing comments on Facebook. What's your opinion on this? That people feel that the prices will just continue to go up even after this wave.
They might go up a bit more, and they may continue to go up. None of us have a crystal ball, but
that's
what I'm seeing now. I mean, I'm sitting out right now. I'm going to hang on to what I have. And I think the frenzy will end at some point in the near future. You know, people are going to, once the rest of life gets back to normal, people are going to go back to a normal buy and sell rhythm. You know, there are a couple things contributing to this. First of all, inventory was very low over the last year. A lot of that has to do with people not wanting strangers coming into your house to view your house,
right?
You know, carrying in viruses and germs and all that. So people who maybe thought about putting their house on the market, then decided, let's wait until, you know, we don't have a bunch of people coming through our house.
Right.
So that was one thing that contributed to low inventory. The other thing that's also contributing now is this hot market, and people are afraid to put their house on the market because they're not sure if they're going to be able to find a new house to move into.
That would be me, because I would love to sell it at the price that's saying. I'm like, oh, this is like easy money. But then it's like, where will I go?
Right. Exactly.
You know, so, it's like, you know.
Yeah. So you have a lot of that going on as well.
I believe there will be a price retraction of some sort once the lumber materials even out, because that is also a reason why the current inventory of existing homes is so hot, is because the builders, they don't want to pay these prices because they can't sell the houses for what's costing them. The margins are so thin. There will be a retraction once the supply of materials comes on board. At some point it will retract a little bit, and people will not drive these prices insanely high when they should be. They're going higher than what the value is. So yeah, that will go away. So, yeah, I would sit on the sideline. I was curious, you as a person who invests in real estate, if you were going to sit, I personally would sit back, and you're doing that. So I was curious what you were doing.
Yeah.
Question number five. Oh, here's another thing real quick. There's a guy on Facebook who has a fixer-upper that he buys houses to rent, and he buys them beat up. And he showed a picture of all the lumber he had to buy because he has to fix the house. He goes, I will never do this again. The amount of money he's spending to fix a house up right now is totally destroying his profit of when he purchased it.
Right. Yep.
So the people that are trying to flip houses, apparently that's not even viable right now. Yeah. It's really difficult. They end up losing. And now they're stuck with these properties. They got to wait.
And there's a lot of cash buyers out there right now. So if you are already on income repayment plan with your student loans, you don't have any money to buy a house, you're thinking about putting a down payment on one, you know, out of every 10, so every house is getting multiple offers on
right.
it. If you have 10 offers on a house, you just have to assume at least three of them are cash only. And since things are going higher than what they may appraise for, if I'm a seller, I'm not going to risk a deal falling through because you don't have the money to make up that gap or you can't work with your lender.
Right.
I'm going to take the cash offer.
I would.
Every time.
Absolutely. Because I know it's a quick sale.
Yeah.
It's simple. You remove the lender portion. Done. Take it. And they'll buy it as is. Cash. Done. Yeah. Take it. Who's
there
got the most?
There are no shortcuts. You got to get out of debt first.
There you go. Question number five. I know the answer to this. I love it when people start these questions.
Why are you asking?
Yeah, why are you asking me this? I know the answer to this, but it seems like bad timing. I have a 401k rollover to an IRA in excess of $400,000. Hey, congratulations. That's a good rollover. Why am I so hesitant to put it all in at one time? I know time in the market beats timing in the market, but yeah, I get that. It's psychological. Don't worry about it. It doesn't matter, because typically you're going from the same type of funds from your 401k into the IRA. If you're in a 401k, if you're doing the S&P 500 in your 401k, you're going to put in the same fund over there. You're not doing anything different. You're doing like and like or better. So no, you're not doing anything wrong. What do you think?
No, I agree. It feels like you're dumping everything into something new right away, and you risk it going up or down, but it was already sitting in that. So it was already at the same exact risk.
I mean,
you're not increasing your risk at all.
I just put $6,000 in an IRA the other day, Amanda, and I bought a new fund. It's already down. Like, oh, well, I bought a fund I have never bought before. I'm not sure what the ticker is. It's the Vanguard Technology Fund. Index fund, which does really well. I do usually do XLK, but I'm doing the Vanguard.
Oh, I was just going to say, except technology has not done well in the last 3 months.
But I've also read a lot of articles lately. You know, no one knows. As everyone's saying how bad it is, it's also a signal when it's a good time to buy too.
Mm-hmm.
That's always been a good thing. So, I mean, it only dropped a tiny bit, but everything seems like this might be a good area to finally get back into it. So I do like technology index funds because they greatly outperform the S&P 500 index fund. So I'm doing this Vanguard one for once. Like, all right, instead of XLK, I'm going to try this one. And I did a bunch of research. It's very high rate. I can't remember what the the symbol is. Well, I'll put it out there if people are interested. But
okay,
it's got the same stuff, man. It's got Apple, Amazon, Microsoft, whatever. Question number six. Can you read this one?
Sure, I can. When figuring net worth, I know that assets minus liabilities equals net worth. Yes. And which items we typically include. However, if you want to get really technical, the personal belongings we own in our houses should count as well. Does anyone include personal belongings in their net worth? And if so, how do you come up with a figure? You know, like TVs, furniture, garden tools in the shed, etc.
We talked about this.
I don't bother with that.
Yeah, we talked about this like 3 or 4 episodes ago.
Yeah.
Yeah, and typically I've heard like 20,000 you could do for that. Think of how you would report that to the insurance company for your total loss, because you're supposed to inventory your house.
Yeah.
When you do, in like 20,000 or something like that. But as we talked about before, I don't include all that.
I don't either. I mean, this person's correct that technically, yes, it is part of your net worth. To me, it's just not worth the bother of figuring. I mean, for me, close enough is good enough, because what am I going to do? Sell off every item in my house in order to liquidate it and have that actual worth? And then what? I have to buy replacement items. So, I don't include that one in my net worth. But yes, if you wanted to do it, you could base it off of the insurance estimate for replacing goods in your house. But I mean, when you get an insurance policy, they're going to ask you, you know, what is the value of the items in your home? And you're going to do an estimate at that time. And you'll think about, well, do I have new furniture? Do I have old furniture? You know, that type of thing.
By chance, I just happened to bring up something which is very important for every homeowner, or even if you're in an apartment, is take your phone around and go through every room. You could just, leave it running and narrate it. Just show everything in your house. If you have a TV, just go up to it, show the back of the plate of it. Do a quick inventory. All you can do is do a quick video. It gets uploaded to Google Photos or Google Drive or some free storage. And you literally have an inventory of your house. Mm-hmm. It literally takes you no longer than 30 minutes to walk through your whole house. Just go room by room, find the things of value. Just show a complete pan. If there's something of value, like a TV, show the back plate of it. It shows the sort of number real quick.
Make sure you get the label that's on it. Yeah,
that way you can prove the if you get your TV replaced, if it's stolen, you know, blah, blah, blah. But I mean, furniture is furniture. But
if you still steal people's TVs out of their homes? I know like in the 80s, that was a big thing on
movies.
That's
a good question. I don't know. Because they're dime a dozen nowadays. I mean, you can buy a TV for like $100 now. It's like, they're so dirt cheap now. But I don't know. I don't know what people steal anymore. I don't know if theft is generally down because so many home alarms are out there now. Because you don't even know which house has an alarm anymore.
Yeah, we're talking like home invasion.
But anyway, but if you have a loss of fire from flood, fire, at least you have an inventory house. You have something to show your insurance company. If you don't have anything, they're going to write you a standard check of an average amount. And probably it'll not be what you want because you don't have proof. So anyway. Just a little tip there that everybody should do. It's more homework, people. Oh my God, this podcast keeps giving me homework. Thank you, Amanda.
You can find Amanda on Instagram and Twitter at Agile Amanda. And you can find me on all of your favorite social media platforms at Rockland USA. Don't forget to check out the website and subscribe to the podcast. All the links are right there on the front page, rockonthemoney.com. Please subscribe and leave comments to our podcast on Apple, Google, Spotify, or even your favorite app that you got right there on your phone. Those help us out a lot. If you're ever looking for a specific topic or content that we've produced over time, just go to the website and in the search bar, just type in your topic, be it 401k, stimulus check, or anything, and everything comes right up for you. We have so much gratitude that you've taken the time out of your day to listen to our podcast while you're walking, driving, traveling, or whatever you're doing. Please send us an email. Let us know how you're doing out there. Podcast at rocklandusa.com. So long, everybody. Thank you very much again. We'll see you again next time. America's Rockland USA. All opinions expressed by the host are solely their own and do not reflect the views of any company, affiliates, or advertisers. Investments or strategies mentioned in the show may not be suitable for you. Before acting on any information in the show, you should consider whether it is suitable for your particular circumstances and strongly consider seeking advice from your own financial or investment advisor.